Session 8, being a gospel partner. In this final session, we're rounding up one of the big themes we've seen through Philippians, gospel partnership. Philippians 1 verses 4 to 5 says this: "In all my prayers, I pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." When Paul thought about the Philippians, he thought about gospel partners, people who weren't just passively sitting by, but were actively involved with him in the work of the gospel. Now, when he talks about the gospel, he means the good news of everything that Jesus has done for us. And when he thinks about partnership, well, it's this idea of people working together with a common goal. And every Christian is called to be such a gospel partner. Church is meant to be a gathering of gospel partners. But sadly, it's easy for us to kind of lose sight of this and to get stuck in what I call passenger mode. Here's a picture of what I mean by being a passenger. It's where we think of church like a bus. You know how it works for the bus? You all pile in and then we all just kind of sit there. And you've got the church leaders and a few other keen folk driving the bus, and we sit there enjoying the ride. Passengers enjoy church, but like a bus service, church is essentially something that's provided for them to use if they want to. Well, that's the idea of being a passenger. Here's a picture though of what it might mean to become a partner. Think of church instead as a sports team. You've got everyone working together, each in their own ways, towards one common goal. Leaders perhaps have a role of coaching and directing and supporting, but actually everyone is part of the team and everyone is stuck in. Well, we're going to spend a few moments digging into the difference between these two ideas, passengers and partners, rounding up some of the big themes that we've seen through Philippians together. So first, what does being a gospel partner look like? Three priorities of gospel partnership. First, prioritising gospel joy. Now, it's hard to miss just how passionate the Apostle Paul is about Jesus Christ. Remember Philippians 1 verse 21, "To live is Christ, to die is gain." Or Philippians 3 verse 8, "I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things." He loves Jesus. He's bowled over by all that Jesus has done for him. And his great passion in life is now Jesus. Now, the first element of being a gospel partner is sharing this passion and joy in Jesus. Prioritizing growing that passion and joy. Because you'll never really give yourself to something that you're not passionate about. So prioritize gospel joy. Second element of being a gospel partner is this: prioritising gospel relationships. You see, at the very heart of this idea of partnership, of course, is relationships. Have a look at Philippians 2, verses 2 to 4. Paul says, "Make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others." You see, the thing that binds Christians together is more than just friendship. It's our joint commitment to Jesus Christ. And that's what being one in spirit and purpose means. We're working together to keep following Jesus and honouring him. In fact, we need each other if we're going to do that. And that's why growing strong relationships with each other is so crucial in the Christian life. I guess some of us will admit to being quite isolated as Christians and not really having these kinds of deep relationships with other believers. Well, if we're to prioritise it, it will require time. And it will require perseverance, being consistent at church, being deliberate in building up relationships, being regular at a small group. To become gospel partners, we must prioritize our gospel joy, prioritize our gospel relationships, and finally, prioritize gospel advance. Have a look at Philippians 1, verse 27. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come to see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel. You see, we're called to get involved in contending for the gospel, seeing the gospel advance, standing up for Jesus when he's under attack, passing on the good news about Jesus to those who don't yet follow him, praying for friends and family who don't yet know Christ, giving money to the work of the gospel, using our own gifts to contribute to gospel advance, doing whatever we can together to make Jesus great. This has been the vision of gospel partnership that Paul has been laying out for us in Philippians. We're to prioritize gospel joy, gospel relationships, and gospel advance. Now, putting these things first in life will, of course, seem costly. It means giving our time and energy. It means making gospel partnership a priority over and above other things in life. Being a passenger actually requires very little of us. We just turn up and then get off the bus when we want to. Being a partner, though, requires actually getting involved. Getting involved in personal Bible study and prayer. Getting involved in people's lives. Getting involved in spreading the gospel. And because gospel partnership is costly, I guess many people opt for the passenger approach. But if we do, it's actually us who miss out. Because whilst gospel partnership is costly, it's also incredibly rewarding. And that takes us to our second point. Gospel partnership leads to great joy. Paul knows that there is nothing more joyful than throwing yourself into gospel partnership. There's joy in serving Christ. This Jesus who made himself nothing for us, who loves us, promises to be with us. Well, there could be no better boss than him. There's also the joy of deep Christian relationships. Philippians has been bubbling over with this joy. Just have a look at Philippians 4 verse 1. Paul says, "Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that's how you should stand firm in the Lord." There's nothing worse than feeling isolated and alone in life. And yet for those who throw themselves into gospel partnership, well, there is the promise of deep, loving relationships. Serving together, on the youth team perhaps, meeting together to share life in a small group. Things that bring us together. But there's also great joy in seeing the gospel advance. Philippians 1 verse 18 says this. "What does it matter," says Paul? "The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this, I rejoice." You see, being a gospel partner means being part of a team who are giving themselves to the most important thing in the world, making Jesus known. Now, there's no doubt that being a passenger is much easier than being a partner. But there's also no doubt that being a partner is so much more joyful than being a passenger. And so finally, let's think together about how we can move from being a passenger to being a partner. And here we'll work through various different mindsets that we might have, either being a kind of passenger mindset or a partner mindset. So the first passenger mindset is this: it's not my job. In the Church of England in particular, there's often a kind of misunderstanding about the role of leaders in church. So people kind of somehow get the impression that it's the leaders whose job it is to do all the stuff like visiting people who are struggling, speaking about Jesus, running activities at church. And so this leads to a kind of classic passenger mindset, which is, it's not my job. We think of the leaders who are the ones who are meant to be doing it all. After all, they're paid. Well, moving to a partner mindset, though, means saying instead, we're a team. Now, the role of leaders is much more like a sports coach. You know, we have time and capacity to teach the Bible and to equip people, to train people. But actually, all of us are part of the team. And so a partner mindset realizes that and thinks about what part they can play. Well, here's our next passenger mindset, which is this. I don't know what I'm doing. You know, perhaps we think, oh, if I was to really get involved in the team, you know, I'd drop the ball. I'd get something wrong. I'd just stand there without a clue what to do. Much safer just to turn up to church and then leave again. But moving that to a partner mindset will mean thinking instead, you know what, I'll start small and I'll ask God for help along the way. See, being a partner is not about just doing jobs that need doing at church. It's much broader. It's about getting involved with relationships and serving people and growing together in Christ. We don't all have to be bubbling extroverts or upfront. We can just start by perhaps resolving to stick around for coffee after church or offering to be an extra pair of hands in the creche or offering to visit an elderly person over the weekend. And as we seek to do this, we can ask for help. We're a family after all. Well, here's the next passenger mindset, which is this. I've got nothing to add. You know, perhaps you look at a busy church like St. Mary's, it's full of very capable people, and we think everything is already covered. Well, you know, I don't really have much to give. Well, how do we move to a partner mindset? Well, instead we say, how can I use the gifts God has given me? You see, God has given all of us gifts that we can, so that we can all be part of this gospel partnership team. And so a partner mindset simply throws himself into serving people, asking where the needs are and thinking, how can I bless people with the gifts God has given me? Next passenger mindset, I'll do my bit. And we think, well, I suppose I should do something. I'll kind of show willing. And then as soon as we've done it, we think, well, I've done my bit now. It's other people's turn. But a partner mindset says, how can I most fruitfully serve? Do you remember old Epaphroditus? He almost died for the work of Christ. There's nothing begrudging about it, but rather a desire to be as much use as a gospel partner as possible. Well, here's the final passenger mindset. I'm too busy to grow deep Christian joy, too busy to form deep gospel relationships, too busy to work towards the advance of the gospel. And so I turn up to church most of the time. That'll just have to do. The partner mindset, though, says this. How can I shape my priorities to best serve the gospel? In other words, we don't try to fit being a gospel partner into our already busy, full schedules. Instead, we look at those schedules and say, how can I shape that schedule? How can I reorganize things such that I can be as fully involved as a gospel partner as possible? So as we close and as we finish Philippians, let me ask, are you a passenger or a partner? Would you like to be a gospel partner? And how might you move from being a passenger to being a partner? Paul says, Philippians 1 verse 4, in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now.